So in my previous house, we didn't have a place to keep the trash away from the dogs. And so we had to put it in a hallway between the kitchen and the living room. And it wasn't really a great spot, but it was the only place to keep it away from the dogs, which meant every time we left the house, we'd have to set up a baby gate in that doorway to keep the dogs out of the rest of the house, specifically to keep them out of the trash. In December 2014, the baby gate failed. Carl and I were out for dinner that night. We got home and we saw this. You would have missed the smell, too. It was a great smell. And here's the thing. Trash all over the floor, as you can see. And it wasn't just any trash, mind you. I had been painting the house on the inside, sprucing it up, getting it ready to sell. And so inside that trash with all the food trash was one of those paint liners with wet paint in it. So after picking up the trash, this is what was left on the floor. Now, needless to say, I was not happy with my dogs. Only two of them were responsible. And believe it or not, because there was paint, it was quite easy to tell who the culprits were. Yeah, those two right there. That's Katie on the left and Momo, rest his soul, on the right. Now, here's the thing. They had paint all over themselves. They had paint on their faces. They had paint on their paws. They had paint on the new floor in the kitchen. They had paint everywhere. But what made matters worse, they were as excited as kindergartners who came home with a new piece of artwork because they were so excited over the mess they had made. They weren't repentant. They weren't sorry. They weren't like in a corner hiding. They were excited about their finger paint project that they had made for their dad. It was a mess. Now, what is most surprising about this story, I had to think about this, but what is most surprising about this story is, believe it or not, these two dogs are therapy dogs. It's true. They have caused me to be in and out of therapy ever since I've had them. That is the truth. Now, here's the thing. I don't like cleaning up my own messes. I loathe to clean up someone else's mess. But that's a part of life. There are always messes to be cleaned up. I mean, at home, it's mostly dishes and dogs. And if Rachel was giving this sermon, I'd be added to that list, by the way. Sometimes, though, it's more than physical messes. Sometimes there are relational messes. Sometimes there are spiritual messes or even theological messes that need to be cleaned up. And here's the truth about all things that need to be cleaned up. Here's the truth right here. The longer you put off cleaning up a mess, the bigger the mess becomes. It doesn't make any difference what it is. The longer you put it off, the bigger it becomes. We know that about even here at church with deferred maintenance. If you put things off and not fixing them, the bigger the cost, the bigger the mess. Now, this was brought home to me several years ago when our daughter Molly, she begged us to buy her a pumpkin for Halloween for her room. She wanted it as decoration. She didn't even want to carve it. She just wanted a pumpkin, a little one, like a little cute pumpkin. You get it at the grocery store. We said, fine. It was like, what, a couple of bucks. So we gave her a pumpkin, and she set it on her TV. I mean, this is back in the day when we all had tube TVs, right, not flat screens. She set it on her TV, and it didn't move until December. Yeah, oh no, that is exactly right. The longer you put off cleaning up messes, the worse it becomes. Because one day in December, when she got home and went into her room, the pumpkin, now this isn't the pumpkin, literally disintegrated all over her TV set. It smelled bad, it looked bad, it had just literally fallen apart. The longer we put off cleaning up messes, the worse it becomes. Now, today's Reformation Sunday, and we talk a little bit about the founder of the Lutheran Church. Martin Luther, his name, discovered that the church had created a huge mess. And he wanted to talk about it in the year 1517. Yeah, 501 years ago. He had discovered that the church had created a spiritual, relational, theological mess. And it was hundreds of years in the making, so it was a big mess. He was a priest, and he was a seminary professor, and he realized that no one was going to clean up this mess. As a matter of fact, the leaders of the church actually embraced the mess because it benefited them. He saw, after a period of time, that every level of church authority was not living up to the faith as taught in the New Testament. The church liked this mess because they could control and manipulate people. They did it for their own benefit. It helped them financially and otherwise. And they were not paying any attention to the loving words of Jesus. So instead, the church taught that God was really angry, and that God was really disappointed in humanity, and that God was quick to judge and punish, and priests often put parishioners, church members, he put the fear of God into them so that they would do what the priest or a bishop or a pope wanted them to do. Christians of that time in the 1500s were fearful of God, and they were very superstitious because of the mess they were force-fed. Long story short, Martin Luther decided that he would be the guy to clean up that huge mess so that all Christians would know the truth about God. So the question is, what is the truth about God? It's a fair question. So Jesus talks about this very thing when he's talking to a group of fellow believers. And it's in John chapter 8, a little bit before what you heard read earlier today, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, that's kind of an interesting thing to say, but let me unpack it for a second. What Jesus is telling a bunch of people is that anyone who follows him will have clarity in this life. Who doesn't want more clarity in this life, right? The ability to make sense of things in the world and to understand what God is really like. I mean, you know what clarity allows you to see, right? It allows you to see the truth. So Jesus offers clarity to those who follow him so that they can discern what is the truth. But Jesus wasn't done at that point in this teaching. He goes on to say, he says, "If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free." Well, that's what Martin Luther did. He held to the teachings of Jesus. He discovered clarity, understood the truth that set him free from the messes of this life, and then he went about setting other people free. That's pretty amazing. But what is that truth? I mean, I think that's really what I want to focus in on here. What is that truth that will set you free? So back in the time of Jesus and in the time of Martin Luther, the truth was there is a God who is loving and not angry and vengeful. But hold on. There's more to this. In Jesus and Martin Luther's day, everyone believed in God. That was just a given. What wasn't clear were God's intentions. So the truth for them was, we're not talking about whether there's a God or isn't a God. There is a God. The question is, what is God really like? That was the truth that they were trying to discover and get clarity on. People weren't discussing the existence of God. They just weren't sure what God was like. So Jesus wanted to clarify, being the Son of God himself, he came to illuminate the nature of God. But here's what I'm going to tell you, is that may not be the truth that we need to talk about today. That may not be the truth that people are searching for. I mean, from what I can see, not here, but in the world, people are less concerned about the nature of God, and the real question or the real truth to be discovered is this: is there even a God at all? That's the truth. Look at the events of this week. Pipe bombs, mass shooting in a synagogue. And you might have even missed the other story about the guy in Kentucky who wanted to shoot up a church with black people, but he couldn't get in, so he went to the local grocery store and shot two black patrons instead. We might have missed that amongst the other stuff. You see the news, and people wonder and think, if there is a God, why wouldn't God prevent that? Or worse, they come to the conclusion that if there is a God, God clearly doesn't care, and why would anyone want to follow a God like that that doesn't stop stuff like that? And then they don't. That's the mess we are contending with. That's the truth that needs to be uncovered that people doubt. So the question is this: how would you respond to that? Because I think it's a totally fair question to ask Christians. You know, if God exists, or if God is real, or if God is loving, why would he allow these things? What would we say? Don't worry, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Here is what we would say. I am proof that God exists. Tell you what, let's just read this together, okay? Hope you all can see it, but let's say it together. I am proof that God exists because I have been given the gift of faith, and I try to reflect the love shown to me by the head of my adopted family. I wouldn't waste my time following someone who doesn't exist or did not rise from the dead. Life is too short to believe in a myth. I am the proof that Jesus lives. That's where the conversation begins. It's not where it ends, but that's where it begins. Being a witness to God's love in the midst of pain, in the midst of brokenheartedness, in the midst of violence, to testify, to witness to that truth, and to be the proof of that love has the power to reform hearts. I mean, the hope is that one day all will be set free by the truth of Jesus' love. You know, to be set free from doubt, to be set free from fear, to be set free from the ugliness that haunts every one of us. We need to be set free from the messes of this life. And for that to happen more effectively, we must speak up and point to the truth in Christ that we are the proof that God exists in this hurting and broken world. We are it. Remember, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. We are the proof that God exists and that God's love is real. The question then becomes, on a Reformation Sunday, for us to be thinking about this, is that are we willing to live into that truth because it can be challenging, sometimes disheartening. There's a legend that the king of Tuscany once sent his troops to attack the city of Rome. And when the Tuscans marched towards Rome, the Romans were taken by surprise as they were not even prepared for battle that day. The Tuscans only had one real obstacle between them and getting to the city, as they had to cross a bridge over the river Tiber. So the chief of the Roman army, when he found out that they were going to be attacked that day, called his army together and he said, "We must not let them cross that bridge at any cost. We must actually tear down our own bridge to defend Rome." So that's what they did. You can see in the painting down in the corner, they started to destroy this wooden bridge. But before they could pull it down completely, the Tuscans got to the other side and were getting ready to cross. And so there was this, according to legend, one soldier by the name of Horatius Cocles. He came forward and he said to his comrades, "Go ahead with your job of cutting down the bridge, tear it apart, but I will go to the other side and defend the bridge and stop the enemy there. I will not let a single Tuscan soldier cross." And he rose his sword in defiance, and he ran to the other side, and two other young soldiers followed him. So while they were busy hacking down the bridge, Horatius and his two companions get to the other side, and they stood against an army. And Horatius said to the Tuscan commander, "We will not let you cross the bridge. We will fight you to our last breath." The Tuscan commander actually was amused to see three Romans challenging a whole army, right? And he laughed at him and he said, "Look, don't be foolish. You cannot stop us. Go back and live to see another day." But Horatius would have none of this, and he said, which really didn't help the cause, he said, "We are Romans and not Tuscans. We don't run. We'll fight you to the bitter end, come what may." And at that point, the battle ensued. But Horatius and his colleagues, his two young colleagues, fought courageously, right? And injured, but they kept fighting, and they knew that the country's security was far more important than their own lives. Now, the bridge was getting hacked down, and it came to a point that the soldiers hacking the bridge down called out to Horatius and said, "Come back, the bridge is going to go." But he didn't, and the bridge crashed, and he jumped into the river. But the river was at flood stage. And the legend goes that he was swept away and never heard from again, but the Tuscan army was repelled, as the legend goes. I mean, it's a story of bravery, a story of courage. And I think some of us guys think that's the way to go out, right? Just like that. It's a great story. He defended the city. He defended the bridge. He protected his city. And it's not unlike Martin Luther. "Here I stand, I can do no other," right? But at what end? And who did he do it for? He did it for Caesar. And in the end, he might have saved Rome for a while. But Rome eventually fell. Let's be a part of something eternal. We aren't here to save a city. We're not even here to defend God's honor. We are here at this moment to be reminded of the freeing truth of the love found in Jesus. We don't have to be perfect. We don't even have to have it all figured out. We are loved so that we may love others. But I will tell you, in the times that we live in, we will need the boldness of Horatius, the tenacity of Martin Luther, and the love of Jesus Christ to guide others towards the truth. The messes of this life can be overwhelming. But believe it or not, we are the cleaning crew that Jesus sent into the world. Water may be the universal solvent, But love is the ultimate cleaner of human messes. Amen.